Morning. How's everyone? Sound a little weak. Didn't get a good night's sleep last night. Well, I'll try not to let you go to sleep. How's that sound? If you have your Bible, we're going to go to the Old Testament today. And Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'm going to do something that my professors at Clear Creek challenged me never to do. They said, don't ever use over 10 verses. And I'm going to use a little more. Normally I have one or two verses as text. And our text this morning will be Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 3. But let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37. This, I think, is an important thought as you are about to bring a new pastor onto the field. There the Bible says, and by the way, I'm using the Holman translation this morning, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his Spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And then he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I replied, Lord, only you know. He said to me, prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you and make flesh to grow on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as he had commanded, and while I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath come from the four winds, and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried and our hope has perished. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the Lord God says, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for experiences our forefathers had. We thank you so much, Father, that you have a plan for our lives, have a plan for your church, and you have a plan for our society. There are times that we look at our society and we doubt your control. But Father, day by day, you show us that you're still in charge. I pray, Father, that through today's word, we might recognize ourselves. And Father, if there's a need for us to make a change in our life or our lifestyle, that you would encourage us to do that. I pray, Father, for that person who might be here without a relationship to you. They may be a member of the church, but not a child of the kingdom. And if that's the case, I pray that they will hear your voice in a different way today. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for this opportunity to stand behind your sacred desk. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of a weird picture painted here in this scripture passage. The children of Israel are in exile in Babylon. Ezekiel and 10,000 exiles had been living in a concentration camp in Babylon. The temple was gone. Their national life was gone. God's people presented a pitiable picture. The people were as dead as dry bones scattered on the surface of a deserted battlefield. The people said of themselves, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off." What a tragic picture. Can Israel live again? Title of today's sermon is, "Can we have revival today?" Revival is a new beginning. Revival brings a new beginning, and so you are embarking on a new beginning. Every time a new pastor comes, you have a new beginning. And under God's leadership and guidance, the church will go the direction, hopefully, that God's chosen for it today. The question I ask is, can we have a revival today? A lot of people say no. Ezekiel's vision should teach us that we can have a revival, that it's possible if we'll just kind of think about Ezekiel's relationship to God, God's relationship to us. In their case, the condition was desperate. And you know, I think in our society today, the condition is desperate. And sometimes in our churches, the condition is desperate. The dry bones of Ezekiel's day, the people in the scripture passage point to a desperate condition. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off from our parts. In these words, we have a clarion condition of the people. There's death, despondency, despair everywhere. Surely they need a revival. Surely they need an awakening. So we have the dry bones of Ezekiel's day, but we have the dry bones of our day. And these dry bones can be found in every church. Okay? I'm going to ask you to think about the things that are about to proceed and see if you find yourself in one of these circumstances. First of all, in our churches, there are lazy bones. They will do anything to keep from going to work for the Lord. They can find every excuse not to do that. I try not to make excuses, and then every now and then I want to make an excuse. So there are lazy bones in the church. There are jaw bones in our churches, and they will do anything that they can. They're always talking and rendering lip service. They're always talking about what I did or what I can do or what I will do. But the fact of the matter, they're just talking. They talk a lot and do a little. Those are the jaw bones. And then there are the wish bones in our churches. They wish that others would do all the work. They wish that others would give the money for the youth program. They wish that others would take care of all the other undertakings of the church as long as they don't have to do it. There are skull bones in our churches, and they are the hard heads who will not and cannot be changed. They are satisfied if minor changes are made, but they are hard-headed about major changes, such as new methods of teaching God's word or new ways of doing things. I'm going to go back a few years now in a memory when we began to do this little trick right here, and we first put up a screen to do that, and it was received fairly well, and we had a business meeting to approve that. The business meeting went well. We approved having that done. service was over and I was going back to the study when one of the members who is no longer here or walked in and he said, "What time's the business meeting? I'm going to take care of that screen." I said, "Well, brother, the business meeting's over and the screen's taken care of. You can go back home." He had never been to a business meeting during my tenure. I don't know if he's been to a business meeting, but God took care of it. I mean, what a blessing it is. Your pastor will be able to give his outline and it can be visible for you. What a blessing that is. I never imagined the blessing of it, but there were folks who were getting skull bones who were just getting, "Well, we ain't never done it that way before." My favorite Christian comedian was Jerry Clower. I really liked Jerry Clower. In fact, just before he died, I had made arrangements for him to be with us here at Pioneer, and he died before that time got here. But he was talking about a church meeting. Jerry was a deacon in his church. And he said they were having a church meeting in an old country church, and they were wanting to get a new chandelier. And they were having meat about it, and Uncle Versy came along late. And he said, I want to speak to this chandelier. And they said, "Well, Versy, go ahead and speak." He said, "I don't think we need a chandelier. In fact, if we had one, we ain't got nobody that could play it." Skull bones. Then there are knuckle bones in every church, and they take delight in criticizing all who try to work for the Lord. Whatever somebody's doing, they try to pick at it. "Well, they didn't do it right," or, "I would have done it better," or, I could have fixed it a different way." When I pastored in the mountains, the parsonage didn't have a storm door on it, and I asked them, "Could we get a storm door? I'd put it up." And they said, "Oh, no, 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 you get the storm door, we'll put it up." Now, I had three engineers in the church, okay? Really brilliant guys. So I went and got the storm door, had it there for them. Come Saturday, we all came. We unboxed it. I said, "Here's the directions." They said, "We don't need the directions." And so they hung the storm door, got the frame up, got the door ready to put up, and guess what? When they put the frame up, it was upside down and backwards. I said, "What do we do now?" They said, "Well, you go to Pikeville and get us another one while we take this other one off. We'll take care of it." Later, somebody said something about the work they did, and I said, "I thought they did tremendous work after they read the directions." But praise God, there are another group of bones in the church, and they are the backbones, and they're in every church. They are the nerve center of the church. They work for the Lord. They get behind every church project, every program, and they push it through till it's done. They do what's necessary about it. You know, so often we want to do something, but we don't bathe it in prayer. The backbones of the church will take the time to pray about the issue, to seek God's leadership for that issue, and then when it is agreed upon that this is a direction the church will take, the backbones will do everything that needs to be done. They'll be here when there's a leak in the roof. They'll be here when there's a commode stopped up. They'll be here when there's a problem. They will be here for every activity in the church. Praise the Lord for that. So, you know, there is this terrible circumstance of dry bones, but there is a divine course. God's in charge. I'm not in charge. Your new pastor won't be in charge. And believe it or not, you're not in charge either. God's in charge. And there's a divine course. God has a way. for everything, we would do well to heed and follow the outline for Ezekiel. Prophesy on these dry bones, say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. John talked about the Sunday school lesson this morning and said it was one of those difficult lessons. You know, we have difficult lessons in order to understand there are difficult circumstances. There are circumstances today that we never dreamed we'd have to face as Christians. Our nation has become a mixing pot of religions. I'm told there are, in the teens, numbers of new groups, religious groups, that start each month. The biggest force in our nation today, beyond Christianity, is Islam. Do you know what Islam's goal is? Islam's goal is to change this nation and to do away with you. And they're going to give you a choice. You either adhere to Islam, or the next best thing they can do for you is to take your life. And so the church is in a dire circumstance today. And we need to understand that Ezekiel said, I prophesied as God commanded. And here we have the crux of the matter. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We need to hear God's word, but not only hear it, take it to our hearts. You know, invitation time, there ought to be people on the pulpit or on the steps or on the pews praying boldly for the church. During the invitation time, people ought to be giving their lives afresh and anew to the Lord. During the invitation time, people ought to be recognizing their shortcomings and surrendering those to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me get past them. We all have shortcomings. If you're perfect, you don't need to be here. You have no reason to be here if you're perfect. That's all there is to it. To save our faces, sometimes we modify the Word of God to make it fit what we want it to say. We can't do that. If I stand up and say, I think, this is what the Word of God says, you don't care what I think. Tell you the truth, I don't care what you think. But I do care what the Word of God says. And we need to be using God's Word. We ought to use it every morning or every evening, whenever you could do it the best, the time you won't, you know, print the page with your nose. And yeah, study your Sunday school lesson, but just read it to read it. Read it to have a word from God. Read it to allow God to speak to your heart on a daily basis. There are going to be times when you will need Him more than you need anything else. In that time, he said, prophesy to these bones and give them life. And that happened. The bones got life, but they lacked one thing. They needed breath. Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy unto the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come of the four winds, O breath, enter breath into these slain, that they may live. And it said, so I prophesied as he commanded me. There are times when I stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim things that I don't want to proclaim. But God's word inspires us to be honest and truthful. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Well, We're not quite a company today. But we have the potential to be an exceeding great army. I shared with Terry a little bit earlier about a church in Western Kentucky, and their pastor came. They had 30 folks. We got 37 or 8 today. They got 30 folks 5 years ago. And when he came, they decided that they would do intentional ministry. You know what intentional ministry is? Intentional ministry is that every member of the church is a minister. And every member of the church accepted the responsibility to reach out and touch lives. And they had a real visitation program. Sometimes we set aside Thursday or Tuesday or Monday for visitation. Their visitation was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And everyone that you came in contact with, you told about your church, what God was doing in your church, and invited them to come, and you chose as many opportunities as you can. 5 years ago, there were 30 people. Today, they will have 3,000. They're averaging 3,000 people in 5 years. Is it possible in Harrodsburg? It is if we allow God to take charge and we serve alongside the pastor. You know, I've had people call me, Brother Walter, I want you to talk to so-and-so about the Lord. And I'll tell them, why don't you do that? And that ain't my job. That's what we hired you for. Well, you didn't hire a pastor, you called one. He's not a hireling. But he's here to work with you. And that's so important. When we preach as God commands, when we act as God's command, life will come to dry bones. Life will come to the defeated, the despairing, the despondent souls. And there will be a change in our community and in our society when we do what God commands us to do. And there are delightful consequences. The consequences of Ezekiel's prophesying are evident in the scripture passage. In verse 14 it says, quote, where's my 14? I will put my spirit in you. The dead come to life. Again in verse 14, God's people serve him. And then look back at verse 6. I will put tendons on you and make flesh to grow on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. You will know that I am the Lord. When we do these things, we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is Lord, that He is in charge. The same thing can happen here at Pioneer, can happen in our nation, in every church, when God's people begin to understand God has a purpose, He has a plan, that we're in a kind of a bad situation, but He has delightful consequences if only we'll come to Him, surrender to Him. God hasn't changed. My Bible said He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's always going to change. Never going to change. He's not lost His power. We may think that He's powerless, but He's not lost His power. He's the same today. He'll be the same forever. And we have to ask God to begin a revival. Where does revival begin? Many years ago, the country of Wales was in a terrible condition. It was a young man that God spoke to his heart. He went to his church and they were having an evening meeting. He said to his pastor, he said, I believe I have a word from God. Could I speak to the congregation? And the pastor said, sure, as soon as the meeting is done, I'll give you 5 minutes. And just a few people stayed, and he shared with them for over an hour the burden that God put on his heart. And they began to pray about it, and he began to preach in a church, and hundreds of people came. Suddenly they couldn't get the people in the church, so somebody started preaching in another church, the same word, same thing. The result was really great in Wales. First off, they had to let the jailer go because nobody was using the jail anymore. They had to retrain the mine mules. They used mules to haul the coal out of the mines. They had to retrain the mules because their urging was always cuss words and everybody quit cussing, so they had to retrain the mules. And there was a great awakening, and that awakening stretched for years. It even came to Danville. You can look back in history. There was a day and a date and a time. I don't remember that anymore. But all the stores closed in Danville, and there was a Christian march, and nearly everybody in town was involved in it and had preaching. There was an awakening and a revival. And where does it start? In one heart. Is that your heart this morning? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to gather. I thank you for your word and for your love. I thank you for the vision that began an old mud meeting house many years ago and has continued till this day. I thank you for those who are faithful, backbones. And pray, Father, for all who are here. I pray, Lord, if there is someone who has recognized themselves as one of those that we mentioned that need a closer walk, they might make a decision. Come forward and give it up to you today. Pray for that person that may be here that I think is saved but has really just been trusting church membership. And pray, Father, that you'll breathe a breath of life into the lost. Encourage the living. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.